Live from CAP Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm Mike Haggerty in for Vicki Gonzalez. In 2016, civic community and faith leaders in the city of Davis decided to come together and find a solution to a mounting crisis. The number of people experiencing homelessness in our state has only grown over the years, but it's grown sharply since the start of the pandemic, and Davis was no exception. After years of planning and collaboration, the doors opened this week on a unique approach to better serve Davis' unhoused community. Paul's Place celebrated its grand opening yesterday on H Street in central Davis, becoming what's believed to be the first facility of its kind in California. The four-story multi-purpose building is designed to both shelter and provide essential services to those who are at risk or are experiencing homelessness. Joining us now to share the story of Paul's Place, what makes it a one-of-a-kind resource, and how it hopes to inspire other communities to follow its lead is Bill Pride, Executive Director for Davis Community Meals and Housing and a founder of Paul's Place. Bill, welcome to Insight.
Great. Thank you, Mike.
Great to have you here today. Can you tell us the backstory? What drove you to create this space to help those experiencing or at risk of experiencing homelessness?
Well, the property at 1111 H Street was something we had owned since 1994. You know, we were an organization that started back in 1991. And after we were founded, the board of directors at the time, the volunteer board of directors, worked with the city of Davis to buy a property there that had some homes there that was transferred and transposed into a day shelter resource center and also a transitional housing program. And we'd had that building for many years. We'd done some remodeling and some other things that happened. But after about 25 years of use, it was in really bad shape. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was overused. It was basically a residential piece of property that was getting used for 50, 60, 70, 80 people a day, sometimes more.
Wow.
And so it kind of had aging issues and facility issues. And so my goal some years ago was to try to figure out a way to kind of rebuild the property and kind of do the same program there in a better facility that had more bathrooms and other facilities that we really had a low amount of. And so I met with some folks in the city of Davis, and the city of Davis at the time had been speaking with Sutter Health who at the time was starting something called the Getting to Zero program, which was a funding opportunity with providing matching funds to do some innovative projects involving homeless and needy folks in the Sacramento Valley area. Mm-hmm. And we got together with them and the city, another group in Davis called Dove. And out of that, we came up with the plan to kind of knock down what I had there and rebuild it with a new facility called Paul's Place.
Now, that Paul's Place has specific meaning. Your father, who passed in 2003, was named Paul.
Yes.
Can you tell us more about him and why he became, or rather the building became, his namesake?
Yes. Well, my dad suffered from many of the issues that I find with homeless people. And just in the backstory to that is that he was a World War II vet. He turned 18 in 1944 and enlisted. And some like 6 months after that, right after Christmas of 1944, he was sent over to Europe and was shipped right to the front lines in this little town called Haddon in the Battle of the Bulge, basically. I think he was there probably 3 or 4 days and was in a battle. Him and a majority of the folks in his regiment got captured. Mm. And he spent the last 6 months of the war in Stalag 4B. And in June of 1945, his camp was liberated by the Russian troops moving in from the east. And, you know, his experience there and his war experience, he basically you'd say now he had PTSD.
Right. But they didn't have that term then.
They didn't have that term. I've looked at letters from the VA back then because he became 100% disabled because of that. Mm-hmm. And the letters described as extreme nervousness. That was the term they used for, you know, what he had at the point.
Right.
And so, you know, he basically spent the rest of his life with that. And he also, unfortunately, as a lot of folks do with mental health problems, turned to drinking and became an alcoholic. Mm-hmm. And remarkably, sometime back in the late 1970s, something happened to him that caused him to stop and totally turn his life around.
Wow.
And the simple thing was, he was arrested for drunk driving. And he spent 4 hours in a jail facility in a little town in southeastern Massachusetts. And whatever happened there just kind of changed him.
This was the rock bottom that we hear about with
the
alcoholics.
Rock bottom, yes.
Yeah.
And he never drank a drop again the rest of his life until he passed away.
Wow.
So that's, and so Paul's place in my mind honors some the idea that everybody who suffers from any of these issues, which a lot of the folks we deal with are homeless and mental health issues, drug and alcohol issues, there is a spot that will get them to change. And so it's meant to be a place of healing for them.
The origins of the project can be traced back to 2016 when the Davis community realized that really needed to come together to help the growing number of people living unsheltered on that city's streets. How does that need in Davis grown or evolved over the past 7 years? I imagine it's gotten far worse.
It's gotten worse. I mean, I think if I can just give you some statistics, if I'm not mistaken, probably around 2015, 2016, there's probably about 120. By last year, there was 181 when we did the last homeless census in January of 2022. So the problem has grown, but the problem has grown everywhere. I mean, as anybody knows, I mean, you just drive around Sacramento, pretty much any town in the Sacramento Valley right now, you're going to see homeless folks at places where you never saw them before. And so it's the problem's only grown.
For those who haven't seen pictures or renderings of Paul's place, can you take us on a little verbal tour about how the building's set up, how it's organized?
Sure. You know, I think the innovative thing about Paul's place is that we put a variety of programs all in the same building. And so, you know, one of the things that we've been doing for many years is what's called a day shelter resource center, which is a drop-in place for folks who are homeless. We have places for folks to take showers, bathroom facilities, clothing, food, you know, place for them to wash their clothes. And they can also talk with our staff, and we can provide a whole range of different services, try to help them with housing, get medical appointments, mental health treatment, a whole range of things. And that's basically the first floor of the facility. The second floor is our transitional housing program. And the nice thing about our program that's changed from what we had previously is that we used to have a congregate facility, and that basically we had four adults in a 10 by 10 bedroom sleeping in bunk beds. Not a great way to kind of have a program. Right. So our new facility limits to 10 people, but they're all getting their own individual bedrooms. So my hope is we're going to have folks having better outcomes as they go through the program. And you know, the program's basically meant to have folks transition from being homeless to being housed by helping with employment, whatever other issues we need to address, life skills issues, and hopefully get them into either employment or some kind of income and move them into some form of permanent housing somewhere.
What were some of the biggest challenges in trying to design that kind of all-in-one concept?
Really, it's kind of just mixing different populations at different stages of their lives. You know, the third and fourth floor there are going to have the permanent supportive housing units. So we're going to have people actually moving off the streets into permanent housing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the difficulty is just making sure that, you know, they all have a safe and stability. And that's, you know, really our goal is making sure the folks in those units are safe and stable. And, you know, I mean, we found we're doing what's called a housing first model, if you're familiar with that term. And, you know, basically we're going to have folks moving directly from the streets into the housing there. And that means they come in with whatever issues they may be having already in the streets. And so, you know, we find, because we do have other permanent supportive housing units in Davis at different facilities, that usually by moving into housing, getting some safety, some stability, get them to a point where they're kind of off the streets and not dealing with all the stresses they have out there with all kinds of issues they suffer from. We find that their usage decreases. They're able to get their mental health more stable, and they can probably be a better community member at that point.
Architects from all over the area, Northern California, have come to see Paul's place, and they're giving very effusive praise for what they're seeing. Tell us a little bit more about the local architect who designed Paul's place and how influential she was in developing that literal and figurative blueprint.
Yeah. You know, when we first started discussions, we had a pretty large group of folks in the city of Davis discussing it, and she was a member of the Dove Board, and that's called Davis Opportunity Village. And, she listened to what I talked about as far as, you know, what we would need to do to kind of work with the different populations. And, you know, she came up with a very, very beautiful building. I mean, it's there's different ingress and egress for folks at different stages in there, so that, you know, if you're a third and fourth floor resident, you're not going to be in a second floor and vice versa. Mm-hmm. you know, the rooms for the permanent supportive housing, they're called micro housing, which is the 300 square feet, but they're very light. They're all self-contained. You know, there's some great components she put in it to kind of make it feel like a real home for folks. And that's really what we aim for, is to make folks feel like, you know, they're invested in a nice place to stay. They're, you know, getting services they need if they need services, and that we try to maintain them in their housing for as long as they'd like.
You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio, and if you're just joining us, we're talking with Bill Pride of Davis Community Meals and Housing about Paul's Place, an innovative solution to serve the city's unhoused community. The project broke ground in June of 2021, but the pandemic dramatically increased the costs of lumber and labor and other construction materials. How were you able to keep the project alive despite what I imagine were a lot of unexpected cost increases?
Well, when we started this project, one of the real great innovations here was that we were actually trying to do this all with private funding. You know, the Sutter seed money was $2.5 million that we could match with private funding. And we also got a big grant up right at the beginning from a place called Partnership Health Plan, who gave us $750,000. And then we worked with the community of Davis and raised money from the local citizenry and raised pretty much almost $3 million from them. Mm. But by the time that we were ready and got our permit and everything else to start construction, COVID was kind of had really affected the materials costs, labor costs, and other things. And, you know, at the time to fix the budget deficit we had due to those increases, you were able to work with the city of Davis and also Yolo County to receive American Rescue Plan funding. And both of them gave us equally about $1 million.
I think everybody is familiar with the term NIMBY. It's an acronym for Not In My Backyard, and NIMBYism can be a major obstacle in projects like these. Did you get pushback from residents or other members of the community?
I think one of the reasons why it was discussed to use the property we already had there was it's not the most desirable part of Davis. It's right next to the railroad tracks, and the railroad goes by there. The freight trains go by there pretty regularly, so there is some noise attached to it. And we had been there for many years. I mean, we had the piece of property we built Paul's Place on. We had our facility there before. The neighbors were familiar with us. The neighbors were kind of familiar with the folks coming and going there. And I think we've always tried to be responsible neighbors to everybody in the neighborhood to make sure that, you know, whatever impact that the folks we use our facilities, that we kind of minimize that to the best we can and work with them if they have any complaints or any issues. And so we really did not get a lot of negative feedback from the community. I mean, we had a little bit, but we went through the planning process and got approved with a unanimous vote. The city council was a unanimous vote. We didn't really have any major opposition to what we were doing there. And like I mentioned previously, I mean, we had a huge amount of community support to build the program.
I know that some homeless advocates had questions about mixing people who are trying to stay sober with people who aren't, along with people who might be suffering from mental illness. How are you able to address their concerns? What measures will be in place to ensure the safety and well-being of these people and your staff?
Yeah, that's always been a concern. I mean, that's an issue we've had to face ever since, you know, I got involved in homeless services 20-something years ago, frankly. You know, it's a very tricky proposition. You know, the Housing First model is you move folks directly in so they could still be using, drinking, doing whatever drug of choice they're using, you know, the mental health issues. I really think the key is having good staff who understand the issues and able to work with the folks in your programs and work with them diligently and kind of keep on top of things. That's the key to me.
Yesterday was the grand opening. What does it mean to you personally to see this dream finally become a reality?
You know, it was certainly a great celebration. I mean, we had a huge community turnout of probably 250, 300 people, which, as I kind of joked initially when I got up to give a little speech yesterday, I said, I'm not sure there's any place I know of I've ever seen having 300 people show up to celebrate opening a homeless facility. That does not happen anywhere, frankly.
True.
So, I mean, it was a nice celebration. I think the nice thing is to know that we've got a lot of community support for what we're doing there. And from the city council to the board of supervisors to the local citizens of Davis, you know, we aim to kind of, you know, work our programs and make sure we run the facility in a very responsible manner. but also make sure we're also giving the services and the housing that's needed for the folks who are living homeless.
Bill Pride's executive director for Davis Community Meals and Housing and founder of Paul's Place, the first of its kind building in Davis, providing shelter and services for those considered at risk or experiencing homelessness. Bill, thanks so much again for being here today.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
You can also read more about Paul's Place, see photos of the project right now at capradio.org. Up next, California's farm workers play a critical role in bringing the food we need to our dining tables. But a landmark study by UC Merced is revealing how thousands of them are experiencing severe chronic health issues and steep challenges accessing health care. We'll hear how farm worker health is impacting the state's most important industry and discuss solutions in improving the well-being of this disadvantaged workforce. You're listening to Insight on your NPR station, Cap Radio. I'm Mike Haggerty, in for Vicki Gonzalez.